Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
I'm so excited about today's show. I had two incredibly cool topics you will not believe. They're very diverse topics, but I think they're both amazing. We got a guy in studio named David Wirth. This guy, okay, you won't believe this. Everybody knows, well, most people don't, I guess, what a railgun is.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what a railgun is.
You're going to make me explain that?
Just give me a short, sweet...
It's a gun that shoots a block of metal, let's say, really, really, really fast.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be used to knock missiles out of the sky. I mean, that's how fast
these things... Oh, this is a serious thing. It's not a toy.
No, this is not a toy. This guy printed his own portable railgun, and maybe... I've been looking for an excuse to get a 3D printer. Haven't found one yet. Now I think maybe we need a BizTalk railgun.
I think
I'm a little concerned. We might not have a show in a couple of months if that's going to be your intention.
And I don't know how to segue from railguns into mental health, but...
Hopefully, if you're building a railgun, you're in good mental health.
Okay, good. Great segue.
Very good.
Great segue. Spencer Hutchins of Concert Health is going to be with us talking about a new way for patients to access mental health. And most of us that are... baby boomers grew up with the idea that mental health was kind of a taboo subject. We didn't talk about it. We weren't taught about it. And yet many of us, the baby boomers, come home, have two glasses of scotch. I mean, then we get upset at people smoking pot, but yet they're drunk. And then the Vicodin and the codeine and the Oxycontin, and it just goes on and on and on. So many people out there in America today are suffering from depression, even the other mental illnesses that need more care, like paranoia, schizophrenia, bipolar, all those things need help. They have a way that patients can access the mental health and mental care a lot easier and better than we have right now. Very excited to talk with Spencer Hutchins at Concert Health, second half of the show. But we're going to go back to railguns, and hopefully David Wirth at Fabricate Labs, or he's the founder and inventor there, now a consultant at Fabricate Labs. Hopefully David Wirth is not a participant in needing mental health because you have a railgun.
Would be a bad thing.
So I want to get into Fabricate and what you do there and the whole 3D printing and the whole technology because I'm very excited about it. But why in the world did you decide to print your own railgun? I mean, what would be the point in doing that, other than the fact that it's just so cool?
Somebody bet me I couldn't do it.
Really? So that was it.
Yep.
So that's almost as good as the fact that it's just really cool.
Yeah.
So somebody bet you could not print a railgun.
Well, it wasn't so much the printing end of it.
You couldn't produce one?
Yeah. I mean, so me and a friend were playing a game of Halo, and I was kicking his butt with the railgun. And
wait a minute. How old are you?
I was probably around 20.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Yeah. Do you still play Halo?
A little bit. Not too much these days.
It's now gotten to the point where adults can play games and not be embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
I
play video games.
Yeah. Cool. So anyhow, back to your bet.
So the guy bet me, because I was kicking his butt so many times, he knew about one of my previous little science projects, and he bet me that I couldn't build a real railgun. And so, you know, I kind of took that to heart and said, well, maybe let me see if this is even possible. So I did some research. And, you know, worked on it for about a year and a half and ended up building it. And the 3D printing really came in later.
So you built a railgun out of what? Did you have to manufacture parts for it, or were you able to get most of the parts off the shelf then?
It was about half and half.
Half and half.
I mean, a railgun's a very serious piece of hardware. It's not something you can just build.
I've seen
out
a picture of it.
You're not using PVC pipe.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something you can build off of Home Depot stuff. You know, you've got to machine the rails, and it's, you know, there's some precision machining involved.
So you put a lot into this bet.
Yeah, I guess so.
Can I ask what the project was? Can I ask what the bet was? I mean, was it $20 or $1,000 or was it a meal or?
I think it was $100.
$100. So you just out of curiosity, how much did you spend on the railgun?
More than $100.
more than $100.
So but it was fun.
You spent thousands to win a $100 bet.
Yeah, I guess you could.
That's the testosterone.
Did you know going into it you were going to be able to complete it, or was this a kind of a pipe dream? And then along the way, you realized I'm really going to do this.
I don't really start projects unless I'm fairly confident I'm going to see them through to the end. You know, if I start something, you know, I'm not going to quit on it until either I've proved it's not possible or I've done it.
And that leads us down to the road of the company that you've started. And before we talk about that, you're not just a casual inventor and observer of this stuff. You've actually been recognized by the White House, I believe, and other organizations. Mm-hmm. Good going on that, by the way, for the work that you do in the technical area. Can you talk a little bit about, other than the railgun, which I think is one of the coolest things on earth to do, can you talk a little bit about what you do in general and the technology that you work with?
Sure. That's a pretty broad question.
That gives you a lot of freedom.
Yeah. In general, I research things that I think are right on the cusp of being possible, that no one has really figured out how to put two and two together yet. And, you know, I've got a pretty deep multidisciplinary understanding of the sciences. And so sometimes I can see a piece that maybe other people are missing, and that piece allows me to make this technology come to life.
Kind of like Cuban and what he does. He's got money in different industries, and he says that one of the things that benefits him is he owns a restaurant and he owns a basketball team.
The Dallas Mavericks.
Right. And then he has different things that cross over, and that's kind of what you're talking about. You can bring information from one discipline into another that may not be there.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't compare myself to Cuban. He's on a whole different level.
Most of us wouldn't.
Yeah, he also happens to be funding one of my companies.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he was the core funder of Fabricate Labs. So.
Really?
Well, that's interesting that I brought his name up then, because I didn't even know that. Yep. So tell us about Fabricate Labs. Mm-hmm. What do you guys do?
So Fabricate Labs is a company in San Diego, and we've developed an entirely new 3D printing process. It's called SED, stereoelectrochemical deposition, and it uses a chemical process.
Wait, back up. Stereo?
Electrochemical deposition.
Stereoelectrochemical deposition.
Mm-hmm.
I like to learn words like that so I can impress people.
Well, it's a made-up word. Half of it's made up.
It took me a long time to learn electroporation. I knew that word. Yeah. So yours is even cooler because it's longer.
Yeah. Longer.
More syllables. Yes.
But essentially what it does is you have an electroplating bath and you can literally grow metal parts out of a liquid.
So what I understand from electroplating is that the item is charged with an electrical charge and dipped into solution that has the other negative charge, or
essentially,
and it adheres to the metal.
Yes,
like a powder coating on metal kind of concept.
Right, except the powder is at the atomic scale. You know, it's atom by atom.
Okay, you just lost me. We'll come back to that. When you get down to the atomic level, my mind is not there yet. Fabricate Labs founder and inventor and now consultant David Wirth is with us. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio, and I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
So much more when we get back. Don't you go anywhere.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We're broadcasting from the ESET studios today. ESET Internet Security. Do more. Want a podcast of the show? Of course you do. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. And don't forget, we're new, so we need your ratings. And the way you can do it, because you can't like call Nielsen and say, I listen to the show. It just won't work. But what you can do is for the next 24 hours, this show is the podcast of the show is encoded. I had no idea this technology even existed. They encode our show, and if you listen to the podcast in the next 24 hours, at least 5 minutes, I think that's what I've been told, we get a brownie point with Nielsen.
Yeah, right.
It's
we
kind
like
of
those.
A big deal.
It
we
is.
Should invite an engineer over at Nielsen on. Show them a good time,
that's
and then maybe they can just rig it up so it looks like billions of people are
watching. Oh, you're thinking about that. That's like getting the Russian bots for the likes on your Facebook page. Like?
Yeah, troll farm.
Well, yeah. Don't tell anybody, but I also do that for my personal Facebook page.
You do the like for like?
Yeah.
Oh, well, back to fabrication, and I find this fascinating. Fabricate Labs, David Wirth, founder and inventor there. He's now a consultant. David, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. We were talking about the technology at Fabricate Labs, and the work you do is probably more technical than most of us are even aware of, right? I mean, yeah, I'm assuming when you go to a social event, people ask you what you do. If you talk in the vernacular, they're not going to understand it, correct?
Oh, I try not to talk about that stuff at social events.
But, but when you're playing Halo with your friends, it probably comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. But the I guess the broad brush, because I asked you to describe what you do, and you said it's just really broad. But would the broad brush be that you work with materials to produce things? Would that be a simple way to say it?
Yes. I work with new fabrication techniques.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So most of us are aware of manufacturing because we see it on How It's Made or Extreme Engineering or some of the shows, or maybe we're even in a manufacturing plant. So we kind of know what plastic looks like when it's blow molded and kind of know what machining looks like. What does it look like in your world? Are we talking about a laboratory type thing? Are we talking about 3D printers? Or are there actual manufacturing plants that take the materials you work with and produce things?
That's kind of an interesting question. I mean, obviously the fabrication process we developed is very new. You know, it's not out in the market. There are no, you know, plants that are using this yet.
So what you're doing is so advanced, it's actually not in production yet.
Right. It's in the research stage. We invented something. We're making a bigger machine. And once we have a machine that's advanced enough, we can take that to the market and start selling them.
So as I understand it, a lot of people with the 3D printers, it's something that you wouldn't see on a production line. So it's things that aren't being mass made already, right? But what sort of things would you be able to do with your technique or what you've developed that you couldn't already do with the existing 3D printers?
Right. So 3D printing right now is kind of bridging the gap between mass production and one-off prototypes.
Right.
A 3D printer can produce an intermediate range. And what that really lends itself to is mass customization versus mass production. So mass production, everybody gets the same part. Prototyping, you only make one. 3D printing, everyone can have a different part.
Mm-hmm.
And the materials that you use, are they materials that most of us would understand if you talked about them?
Absolutely.
What kinds of things are you talking about?
Mostly with our process, we work with copper and nickel.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
Those kind of things.
They have copper pipes at Home Depot.
Absolutely.
That I get.
Yeah.
So is the production of the product you make, does the copper come in some kind of powder or liquid form so it can be printed? Obviously, it doesn't come in a solid because you'd have to manipulate it another way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give away too much about how the process works.
Oh, come on. This is radio.
What's the secret?
Yeah. I mean, it's an electroplating bath.
Okay.
So you use metal salts, copper sulfate.
Now that
you know,
I get.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
Chemicals.
Okay. Have you blown anything up yet?
I blow things up just about every question. At Fabricate?
That's why he
not
does
in a while.
What he does is to blow things
well,
up.
Well, you probably like the Mythbusters then, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. They blow things up from time to
job.
Time. Yeah. So, are there, I heard you say a second ago, you're in the development phase of, I guess, a process. Mm. Are you creating the machinery that somebody's going to buy to manufacture their own products?
Yes. We're making the 3D printers, not the parts that come out of the 3D.
Got it. So you're manufacturing the stuff that will go into the manufacturing plant.
Yes, we're making the machines.
Okay, yeah. So you can go to Fry's or some other place, Best Buy, and buy a 3D printer for hundreds of dollars right now, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in the mid-$100. Mm-hmm. What kinds of price points are going to be on the machines you're talking about? I'm guessing it's going to be a bit higher than the consumer model that comes at home.
I can't really go too much into the price point we're looking at.
But is it over $1,000, tens of thousands of dollars?
It's going to be over $1,000,
okay,
for sure. I mean, it's a metal printer. It's got a lot more capabilities.
What I'm trying to figure out is, will I be able to afford one to put my home?
One day.
Is it going to be for individuals or are big companies or that already exist going to be buying your product to kind of augment what they're already doing?
You know, that's kind of still in flux. The technology was kind of... It can go either way. You know, there can be very big machines for very big objects, car parts, etc. It could also be applied one day to consumer products.
So they have 3D printers that can print walls for houses, right? I mean, it's
basically concrete
3D printer. Then they have them small enough to make little miniaturized parts. I'm guessing the parts you're producing are going to be the things that go into other things, or will they be more manufactured things are your parts going to build like toasters or the items that go into things like car parts?
I mean, there's a broad range of applications. You know,
so there's a bunch of things
made out of metal.
That can, Wow.
Metal, it's a non-thermal process, so it can print plastic and metal in the same part.
No kidding.
You might even be able to print semiconductors inside of the part.
Wow.
So this, you could have a device at once. You could print a phone all at once.
No kidding.
I mean, that's a long way off, yeah, but that's what this non-thermal process
enables.
Sounds
like the future is almost here.
Yeah.
There's always a software component to 3D printing, right? So you have to program something in order to build something out of this. Yep. If somebody buys these, do they have to have a specialist to understand and use this your products? Or is it going to be pretty straightforward where anybody can get started and start building, say, an iPhone from scratch?
Right. I mean, so that's always kind of the pipe dream with 3D printing. Is you buy this thing thinking it's going to be just like a hammer or a screwdriver, you can just pick it up and use it. You know, this is a fairly advanced, fairly precision machine. All 3D printers are. You know, it takes some skill to use it, just like a milling machine or a lathe.
Well, those are programmed with, what, CNC coding, I believe is what it's called, computer something, something. Mm-hmm. So is there a special coding then to follow up on that?
Mm-hmm.
Or, so somebody will have to have some education in this to use this product.
Yeah, just like anything with computers, you've got to get your files in the right format to be able to print them.
Okay, so you're in a world that is looking into the future. Most of us don't live in the world you live in. So you're thinking about things down the road a little bit because you're on the cutting edge of this technology. I'm not going to get to ask this question. I want to find out what exciting things you're thinking about that could be made other than maybe rail guns someday. We'll get to that when we get back. David Wirth is with us. He's founder, inventor, and now consultant at his old company, Fabricate Labs. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
So many cool things to come. Don't you go anywhere.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing It's Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us on ESPN 1700, but do you know you could watch us too? Watch us on Facebook, visit our Biz Talk Radio page, share your comments, ask your questions, and of course, we always appreciate your likes. Bob especially appreciates your likes, but we all do. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan, and I do like it when you like me, please. Was that pitiful enough? Okay, or do I need to be more pitiful?
That sounded pretty sincere.
Okay, yeah. Good. At the bottom of the hour, coming up next segment, Spencer Hutchins is going to be with us. We're going to talk about mental health and your access to it. Right now, we have David Wirth with us. He is a consultant at Fabricate Labs, a company he founded, and he's an inventor. Guy that built his own railgun. I love that. How many people do you know that built a railgun?
He's the first. I've never
met anybody. It's very, very cool. David, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're, as we were talking about before we went to break, kind of on the cutting edge of technologies in this metal fabrication world, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. You're the first person I've talked with that's this advanced with metal fabrication, and I talk with a lot of businesses. What is fun for you to think about producing? Obviously, you built a railgun, so you've got to be thinking about other cool things that can be built with 3D printing. Maybe not even the 3D printing that your machines do, but in general, are we going to get to the point where you can fax an object via 3D, where it's scanned here and printed over there?
Oh, absolutely. We're already there.
Seriously?
You can already scan something in San Diego and print it in New York. I mean, that's already exists.
Does it have to be on the same system? Meaning, do they have to have the same exact equipment, or is it... Wow.
Yeah, you can scan something, send it through the internet. Obviously, it's limited to simple stuff like plastics, you know, and you're only going to be able to print something as a plastic. But yeah, you can already do that.
So what are some of the other things you think about when you look at the future? It probably maybe is old hat to you right now, but to most of us that don't have 3D printers, what kinds of things will we be doing down the road?
Down the road, that's kind of an interesting segue. So down the road, kind of the things that I'm looking at that are potentially disruptive industries. I think there's a lot of aerospace technologies that are very disruptive. We kind of touched on, you know, the electromagnetics. I'm also involved in some software projects currently. Cryptocurrencies is probably going to be a very disruptive industry. It's already disrupting the stock market in some ways, not necessarily affecting the stock market, but there's a kind of a second stock market that's kind of bubbling under the surface, the ICO bubble.
I want to get to the cryptocurrencies because that's fascinating to me. But real quick, I understand that on the space station and on our rockets to Mars and some of the other things we're developing, 3D printing will be an integral part of that, right? In case a part breaks, they can manufacture something on the fly, which we've never had that capability.
Yep.
Very cool.
Back the space station, yeah, they currently have a plastic 3D printer on there, and they've printed wrenches and simple tools. One of the great things that 3D printing is really good at is printing fixtures. So if you need a special bracket to mount something, you can print that up really
excellent
quick.
Excellent idea, yeah. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, there was what's that movie, Apollo 13, where somebody saved it by having a pen to put in a ballpoint pen to stick in the a lever that broke off. Is that the right movie I'm thinking
I'm
of?
I'm not sure, but it sounds cool.
Supposedly, some mission was saved by a ballpoint pen being used in the place of a lever. Lever. I don't know which. Cryptocurrencies.
Sure.
Everybody knows about them. Everybody hears about Bitcoin.
It's the buzzword.
Yeah, blockchains and everything else. Wow. I mean, we could spend hours. We just have a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. What do you see? You said it's going to be disruptive. Mm-hmm. It's already taking money away from investment in the stock market, right?
I wouldn't say that.
Do you think it's creating its own new market?
It is a new market. I don't know how much it's competing with the stock market. You know, I'm not, you know, I got my degree in aerospace engineering. I'm not a financial analyst.
So you're rocket science.
You could say that.
Nice.
A real rocket scientist on the show. Who knew?
I'm sure you guys interview a bunch of
I want your autograph
types.
At
we
the
probably
end of your
do,
segment.
But not many rocket scientists that are actually got degrees in rocket science. That's impressive.
Thank you.
So cryptocurrencies, is that something that's just an interest to you, or do you have a business connection to it?
So it's been an interest to me since around 2010. I've been working in that space, you know, kind of as a hobby, working with developing new types of mining equipment for Bitcoin. But since my exit from Fabricate, well, not really my exit, but since I've started to move away from Fabricate a little bit, I've been looking into crypto as potentially a new business venture.
So most people might not know, you actually have to mine a digital currency, which seems counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. How do people do that? How do digital currencies come into existence?
Sure. So kind of the 10,000 foot view is... There's a program, a computer program that everyone agrees they're all going to use. And as part of this program, there's a function called mining. And essentially what you do is you compute a math function, which is a way of, occupying your computer and tying this cryptocurrency to a limited resource, which is energy. And the more time and energy you spend mining, the more cryptocurrency you can generate. So it limits the inflation.
What's the point of I mean, obviously that you're creating a currency that you can physically use to purchase something.
Well, that's the point, is it's not physical. The point is it's decentralized.
Right. Okay. So you're creating something that you can actually purchase a physical item with.
Yes.
You could buy something online with your cryptocurrency and have it delivered to your house. Mm-hmm. How do you create that out of nothing? Who grants that to you, and why would they do it? Why does occupying your computer with a math function qualify to get you something that you can purchase online ultimately?
The same reason that, ancient civilizations tied up resources mining gold and silver. You know,
it's worth something because we all agree it is.
It's a store of value.
Holy
it's a store of value.
Cow.
Do we take for granted in this country that our dollar is pretty steady and is one of the reasons because this is not tied to any particular country, so we won't see rampant inflation, things like that won't be as much of an issue?
That was one of the founding principles of Bitcoin. Bitcoin really originated from a group of individuals, or maybe one individual called Satoshi Nakamoto. He came up with this white paper, and his motivation for developing the technology was to prevent another 2008 type financial crash where big banks, governments, et cetera, played with the currencies too much and broke the system. So Bitcoin is an attempt to get the control away from any one single entity and make it decentralized.
It fascinates me that we as a society agree that our dollar is worth what it is worth, and that can change because somebody does something different with it. Mm-hmm. But we could create anything. We could all of a sudden say a maple leaf off of a tree is now worth 2 pounds of flour, and that would be a new currency for us. But cryptocurrency exists only because we agree that it has a value.
Bitcoin, I believe, exists only because we agree it has a value. There is some utility in that you can do instant transactions, et cetera, but there are new technologies emerging on the back of Bitcoin, such as, you know, Ethereum and IOTA and these other technologies that draw on that blockchain that have more inherent value.
Okay, we're almost out of time. Do you have a quick question?
I was just going to say one of the benefits of blockchain is it can actually limit the amount that's out there.
Yes.
Just like gold and silver, there's a limited amount, and that's why it was probably worth something or a good store of value.
It's
right?
a limited resource. Yep.
David Wirth, Fabricate Labs is the company you founded. You're an inventor there, now consultant. I would love to find out what you think about in your off hours, because this is fascinating. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This
is
great.
You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
When we come back, we're going to talk mental health. It is really important that you stay tuned for this. I'm not kidding. Don't go anywhere.